Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and I think you're going to enjoy today's show. We have a very, very special interview, and I found something on broadcast TV that I did not expect. It was supremely geeky, and given who the show host is, I should have seen it coming, especially after his announcements earlier in the week. We should have seen this coming, and this is appropriate and funny, and I'm doing my part as a geek to make sure everybody sees the segment that brought me so much joy and laughter. So we'll get to that later, but right now, sit back and stay tuned for an interview that I found fun and fascinating, and I hope you do too.
You're home from the comic book store with your favorite titles. Wouldn't they read better while listening to Krypton Radio?
And welcome back to Slice of Sci-Fi. This is Summer Brooks, and my special guest today is Jason Blum, who is here to talk about Sci-Fi Channel's latest miniseries extravaganza, Ascension, which airs Monday night, December 15th, 16th, and 17th, I believe, right?
Correct, exactly. It's three parts, 2 hours each part, so 2 hours Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights.
I can't tell you how excited I am for this because Sci-Fi Channel's track record with miniseries, so far I have not been let down. So, you know, you
well,
get it.
I hope we continue the tradition with the pressures on.
I hope so too, because I've enjoyed your other projects. So seeing that you are jumping into a fully science fiction, almost space opera epic was like, wow, cool.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's a little different for us, but it has a lot of the same elements of our movies, and I'm really pleased with how it came out.
Okay, tell us, like, broad strokes, the overview of the story.
So broad strokes is in the 60s at the height of the Cold War. This is obviously pretend. In the 60s at the height of the Cold War, there was it was kind of the first time we started thinking about what would happen if the world ended. And so one of the ideas was to take 300 people and put them on a multi-generational trip or multi-generational space travel. So they'd go from Earth to a place that they discovered was inhabitable by humans, but would take 100 years to get to. So basically, no one who gets on the ship makes it to the planet. They all die on the way, but their kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids make it to another place, which is like Earth. So the conceit of the show is that we open, and they've been traveling in space for 49 years. So it's present day, but the ship is obviously a different kind of reality than Earth, but it's actually 2014. The journey's been going on for 49 years. There are a couple of key things going on at the moment when the show opens. One is that they only have a year left to decide if they're going to turn around and go back to Earth. Once they get past year 50, they have to keep going to this other place to live. And the second thing is that someone's been killed on the ship, and that's never happened before. In fact, there are no guns on the ship, so they have to figure out who did it, how they did it, why they did it. And that's kind of the inciting incident that we jump into this world on.
So you've got the time pressure of point of no return, turn back, or go ahead, and, oh, look, we have a major crime here, and we're not sure how to solve it.
Yeah, exactly. And we have 300 people who've been traveling for 49 years. A lot of them have been born in space, so it's a tinderbox already. So it kind of catches fire as we open the show.
Awesome. It sounds, even hearing you describe it, it sounds more intriguing than ever. What was the story choice to set the origin in the 1960s?
I think the idea was that was kind of the first time that we all really talked about the end of the Earth and what would happen if the Earth ended because of nuclear war, And interestingly, on the, in the show, we had to do a lot of the conceit of the show is that the ship was in touch with Earth for the first 10 years, so until the middle 70s, but then after that they lost all contact with Earth, and so we had to kind of dream up of what technology would look like in a community that had the same amount of time between the 60s and us as we do on Earth, but that they developed kind of an alternate technology. So how they listen to music and watch movies and talk to each other and process information, we had to come up with ideas of what it would look like, kind of separate but equal, right? So that was the idea of what we were, that was a lot of what we thought about of what technology would look like.
So what went into the design? Because I've seen some of the stills and the photos and they're absolutely gorgeous.
Well, a lot. We spent a lot of time on it. Our movies are usually very low budget, but this show was the opposite. It was a very big, expensive production, big sets, and all that stuff. And we really spent a lot of time thinking about what things would look like. And that goes not just for technology, but fashion and style, right? Like, mm-hmm. If the last clothes that you had were in the 60s, but then again, obviously, style is going to change whether you're connected to Earth or not, but how would it change? So we tried to be, the look is like a 60s modern inspired look, but it's the show is not a period show. It's a contemporary show. So we played around with it. And the good news is there was no wrong answer. So we picked what we liked, and that's what we went with.
How did you try to develop the culture on the ship the same way it might have developed or they thought it might have developed on Earth in terms of like music and food and just behaviors?
Yeah, we did. We thought a lot about that, all of that, of like how would food evolve? How would music evolve? How would art evolve? And the ship, really the notion of the ship is essentially it's like a huge cruise ship in space. But remember, it has to sustain itself. So there's a place for livestock on the ship. There's a place where they grow vegetables on the produce on the ship and grain on the ship. There's a place where there's a water reclamation plant where they repurpose the water, so that the ship had to be equipped to sustain life for 100 years. So there are all sorts of things that you wouldn't normally think about that we had to think about to figure out how that could possibly be and how you do that. And that goes for practical things like food and also, you know, cultural things, you know, like just like you said, like art and clothes and everything else like that.
Now, taking into account your favorite genre, is there a horror element lurking somewhere beneath the surface waiting to surprise us?
There's a major event which does lurk under the surface, which is a huge twist and a surprise, which I'm not going to reveal right now.
Oh, darn.
But there's a big event, and I wouldn't say it's a traditional horror type event, but it certainly creates psychological chaos. So there are touches of and it's very, very scary. It's particularly scary to the one individual that it happens to. So in that way, there's kind of a dark theme under the show. And actually, that was what I was, the twist in the show is the reason that I did the show. It's one of the best twists I've ever heard in a story. And it was what attracted me to it. And again, it's hard to talk about it because I don't want to reveal it. But that was why I wanted to do the show. It was very, very simply that one twist, which even when the story was told to me, which is how I first heard this as a pitch. So the story was told to me, and when that element of the story came up, I was floored and shocked and didn't see it coming at all. And I said, boy, if I feel this way, then I think people watching it will feel the same way. So let's go make this show.
Wow. Now I really can't wait to see this. Oh, how soon is Monday?
It's coming.
So
I want to talk to you after to see if it holds up, but I really think it will. I think you'll be shocked. I think you'll be shocked.
You know what? You are welcome to come back on and we can do a post-broadcast breakdown of the entire story, because I'm all for that.
I, I like it.
Now, has this inspired you to look out for other sci-fi stories with that that little twist in it that you can produce?
Well, it's you know, The Purge was kind of a sci-fi. It was, you know, thriller, horror, and sci-fi. There was a big sci-fi notion to The Purge, which are those two movies that we did. And so that was kind of my first foray into sci-fi. And I love ordinary people in extraordinary circumstances, and that's a lot of what sci-fi is. And so I'm very attracted to throwing people that we can relate to, people like you and I, but then throwing them into a situation that you and I have never been in, and then seeing how they respond and how they will behave differently, and trying to really say, like, would I do that or would I not do that? Like, am I buying this? Am I believing this or not? One of the hardest things I think about sci-fi is to get people to buy, to sell the premise. Like, you have one buy. When we worked on The Purge, I always remember thinking, like, are people really going to believe that you could have a society where crime was legal for 12 hours a year? And this is a similar thing. Are people really going to believe that there's a 100-year space journey that these people are on and that is actually working? And we fight in the creative process to really make those things believable. And I think if you can suspend disbelief for the big buy-ins in sci-fi, then the stories work.
Excellent. Well, I know I'm looking forward to watching this, and I know a lot of our listeners and fans are looking forward to it as well. Again, that's Ascension on Sci-Fi Channel Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday.
Kick it in
for the full Sci-Fi Channel miniseries event effect. And literally, if you want to come back on the show and do a breakdown afterwards, I'm all for it.
Well, I appreciate it. Well, let's see what you think. I'll wait to hear your thoughts. I appreciate that.
Excellent. Again, thank you for your time today. Really.
Thank you.
It's always fun chatting with you.
Good. Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Right. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
He rolls 20 every time. He laid out plans for man to reach Mars and return safely on a cocktail napkin. The next day, it was approved. He always knows where his towel is. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friends.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Welcome back. Today's geeky topic is Stephen Colbert of the Colbert Report, which is entering its final days before the show ends and Stephen goes off to conquer real mainstream media by becoming the host of the Late Show, replacing David Letterman. But in the meantime, he has fully embraced his inner geek during his final lap farewell tour with whatever he's calling it. Earlier this week, he graced the cover of Entertainment Weekly as Bilbo, as Legolas, and as Gandalf. They actually made him up. They put him in costume, in makeup, as those characters. And as we found out during the Lord of the Rings trilogy, he is a supreme Lord of the Rings, Tolkien geek, probably second behind Peter Jackson, maybe even tied at this point. So he had a little bit of fun showing some of the behind the scenes for the magazine cover shoot. But the interview he did on Thursday night's show, I did not see coming. I should have seen it coming. We all should have seen it coming. His interview guest was Smaug. That's right, the dragon from The Hobbit. And the mix of CGI and real set when they had Smaug come in was geek CG perfection. And the fact that they had Benedict Cumberbatch do this voice being interviewed was hilarious. The entire segment, I just had a big old smile on my face from beginning to end, from the moment Smaug busts through the wall to sit down across from Steven. So I highly recommend everyone who is just has just a little bit of geek in them, fantasy geek, dragon geek, CGI geek, Stephen Colbert geek, just go watch the episode for Thursday, December 11th. It's still on Hulu. It will probably be on the Colbert Report website forever. It'll probably rerun on Comedy Central all weekend long. It is well worth the 6.5 minutes of hilarity that ensues. So that's my shout out to Stephen Colbert's shout out to the final chapter of the Hobbit trilogy, which opens next week. And in a little way, this is Slice of Sci-Fi returning the shout out favor to Stephen Colbert, since he gave us a shout out online years ago, a long time ago. He left us a little breadcrumb on one of his websites that indicated, with no doubt, that he listened to Slice of Sci-Fi. And next week's show, we should have a review of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies from either Noah or Darren or both. That was uncertain as of this recording. But either way, it'll be a fun review. And that will do it for this week's Slice of Sci-Fi. As always, you can find the website, sliceofscifi.com. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Google+. And if you have any comments or questions, you can always call those in. The phone number is 602-635-6976. Leave me a voicemail. We'll play those. Still collecting the commentary for the Doctor Who Season 8 wrap-up show. And preparing for a Doctor Who Christmas special breakdown. So stay tuned for that coming up. We have some great guests coming up in the next few weeks, including an awesome interview with Kevin Murphy from Riff Tracks. So stay tuned for that. And yes, as you might have heard or figured out, Slice of Sci-Fi is back on Krypton Radio, which you can find at kryptonradio.com, and in the Windows Media Center, just search for Krypton Radio or search for Sci-Fi, you'll find it very easily. If you have a need to listen to sci-fi themed, geeky themed music and entertainment 24/7, Krypton Radio is the place to be. We're also working on a few more Slice of Sci-Fi bonuses in 2015, including a regular live broadcast show. If that interests you, having guest interviews or special guest host coming on to talk with me about various goings-on in the sci-fi entertainment world, or maybe a call-in show where people can call in or Skype in and ask their questions live. Or maybe even just be a guest geek for a few minutes and we'll chat about something you find interesting. Let me know. You can email summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can call in. Again, the number is 602-635-6976. And we're going to have some fun. We're going to have a lot of fun with this. And for those of you who have stuck out this very uncertain year, thank you for staying on the ride and waiting for us to get going again. I think we're going. And for everyone else who's stopping by, curious, stick around. We are definitely making some progress in bringing you a different show, a new show, a fun, geeky show, and my hope is that you will enjoy it as much as I do. And that'll do it for this week's show. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.